Well, thank you so much for the invitation to come and be with you and for the opportunity to share. One other thing I meant to say when we were talking about the move, just one other little thing, rest the workers. As you step into the new thing, it's all very exciting and everybody wants to go hard, but you're actually quite tired after a year like this, and particularly those who've been carrying the load. Find ways to rest the workers as you step in. Otherwise, you get tired and you get grumpy with one another, and it's not nice. Together for God. Here at St. Alfred's, I believe you've been studying through the book of Nehemiah over a part of 2008. And Peter came to the table as we discussed what we would be doing in the churches and what would be wise to share together. And he was bubbling over with insights from Nehemiah. He commented on chapter 3 of Nehemiah, a chapter that is a list of names, if you know it. It's kind of like the Jerusalem phone book, sort of like a directory or a roster for the activities in Jerusalem. And at first glance, it doesn't look very preachable. It doesn't look very readable, I'll tell you that. I'll read a bit of it this morning, and you hear these ancient names. But as you look at it more closely, it's a wonderful chapter, which reminds us of some things that I think would be good to be reminded of this morning and calls us to life together. Life together as individuals in the church, life together as churches in the community, life together as the people of God, together for God, together in mission for God. Let me read to you from Nehemiah chapter 3, and if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. And some words will come up on the screen. I'll read a section and then we'll skip and then we'll skip again. Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 1. Eliashib the high priest and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the tower of the hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachar, the son of Imri, built next to him, to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Chesanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, the son of Jezebel, made repairs, and next to him Zadok, the son of Bana, also made repairs. The next section was rebuilt by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. We skip down to verse 13. The valley gate was repaired by Hanun and the residents of Zenoa. They rebuilt it and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. They also repaired 500 yards of the wall as far as the dung gate. The dung gate was repaired by Melchijah, son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth Hakerem. He rebuilt it and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. And we skip down to verse 28. Above the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of his own house. Next to them, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs opposite his house. Next to him, Shemaiah, son of Shechaniah, the guard at the east gate, made repairs. Next to him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zelophath, repaired another section. Next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, made repairs opposite his living quarters. And next to him, Melchijah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs as far as the house of the temple servants and the merchants opposite the inspection gate, and as far as the room above the corner. And between the room above the corner and the sheep gate, that's where we started, the goldsmiths and the merchants made repairs. We've made a ring right round the city. And all these different people are named, and I've skipped a good many of them just for your well-being this morning. A long list, 42 stations in all of workers with family names and connections, and isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? And this is what the church is. It's about people. It's about people in community serving God. Together in our uniqueness, together in our individuality. Let's start with that reflection. Together in our individuality. This passage reminds us that the church is a collection of people. Nehemiah loved lists. Here in chapter 3, there's a long list. Do you know that through the book of Nehemiah, there are 7 different lists? Lists of people, lists of places, lists of work to be done. I understand Nehemiah. I like lists. He makes lists and he ticks the things off as he moves through. But this chapter is a beautiful list. It's a list of people. They're all dead now, but they're not forgotten. They're all gone now, but the impact of their lives is not finished. And here they are, preserved for us for all history. I love lists. I love lists of names. I wonder if any of you have one of these in your collection. How many of you have one of these somewhere? That's the Old Orchard family right there. This is Heidi's. We've got 3 of these. And yellowing with age, it's a tea towel with the faces drawn by the kids and the names printed in a messy hand script of all the little ones coming into Old Orchard. They did it to remember who their peers were. Just a list of names. But it's a wonderful token, isn't it? A wonderful remembrance. And here we are in church, all of us so different, so individual, so varied, just a group of people. And yet it is in our community, in our togetherness, in our individuality together, that we will make the most profound division. Here in this book, they are building a wall, and they use all kinds of diverse workers. You may have noticed some in the list that I read, in the words that I read, and more in what I didn't read. There are goldsmiths. There are merchants. There are perfume makers. Now, what would they know about building a wall? Perfume makers. There are priests. What would they know about building a wall? And Levites. There are district rulers. There are all the varieties of life and its occupations. Some of them are there to carry away the rubble. They're there to do the hard work. They'll just lift stone and move burnt wood and old bolts and bits of the gates that have been burned and destroyed so that the craftsmen can take their place and build some new things. Some of them will be skilled, but they're all in it together, and they're all doing their work, and they're all in their individuality serving the things of God. Some of them are foreigners. In fact, we learn that there are people from Tekoa, there are people from Gideon and Mizpah and Zenoa and Beth Hakarim and Beth Zur and Kylie. They all live together, giving. And sometimes we do that in community, don't we? We're interested in the church down the road. Don't attend there, but they have a need and we pray for them. We're interested in the missionary on the field. Have never traveled there. But there's a great opportunity. We've been told the story, and we dig deep, and we give generously. And that's what's going on in this building of the wall. People come from many places to get this job done because it's a kingdom job, because it's purposeful work for God. And so together, in our individuality, we get on and we do it. Some of the people in this list, when you read it closely and several times, you discover that the same name occurs, but it's not the same person. Same name, but then they've got a different dad. Well, that's just like the church, isn't it? There'd be a few Johns, I reckon. There are some common names, but the people are individual, and they stand out. Who they are and what they do and what their connections are matter to us. Some of the people built in front of their own houses, so individual was the task. They built on the wall opposite to where they lived, and that's the job for some of you. You're meant to build right where you're living. You're meant to do God's work. You're meant to do kingdom work. You're meant to do prayerful work and witnessing work and sometimes just hard yards of service right where you live, right opposite the people at the desk where you work each day, right opposite the classroom where you teach, right opposite the kitchen where you prepare your meals. It is our individuality that God delights to use. And there's a phrase that repeats all the way through the chapter. You would have heard just a bit of it. And next to him, and next to him, and next to him. And you put your family names in there. You put all the names of your church family and you line them up. And you could write a Nehemiah chapter 3 that would be just as exciting as this one, probably more exciting, actually, because it's your names, because it's your story. And the tea towel will eventually yellow, and someone else will come to and say, well, that's a bit boring. But it's never boring when it's a list of real people's names and you take time to know that list. What is it that will get the kingdom work of God done in this community? Being in it together, being in it together in our individuality. And it is each of us shoulder to shoulder. It is each of our churches shoulder to shoulder. St. Alfred's, and next to them, one community. And next to them, New Hope Baptist. And next to them, St. Philip's. And next to them, St. Luke's. And we have all these lovely saint names. We don't do that in the Baptist church. We're the poorer for it, I reckon. All these churches. And are they just scattered out there, or are they next to one another? That's our dream, shoulder to shoulder, working on the wall for God. Well, let's reflect on another thing, together with a common purpose. Together in our individuality, God uses us and he develops and he moves forward what he wants to do. But there's a common purpose. Together in our common purpose. Nothing worse than a team of players who haven't figured out which net on the field is their own. Nothing worse than someone who's kicking the ball up the wrong direction on the field, thinking they're doing the right thing. And in the community of faith, being constantly aware of what our purpose is. What are we trying to do? Here in the book of Nehemiah, they have a very simple purpose. They need to build a wall. Listen to what Nehemiah says in the chapter that precedes what I read. Then I said to them, the voice of Nehemiah, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. And so they began the good work. They've got a very simple, clear mandate. And so do we. Jesus says to us in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Make disciples in every nation. Baptize them. Teach them to obey me. And I will be with you. All of my power and authority in heaven will be with you on earth. Keep going. That's the goal. That's the mission. That's the purpose. That's the commonality. That's why it matters that ministers exchange pulpits to remind ourselves that we're in the same game. St. Alfred's isn't kicking the ball up the field one direction and the Baptists in the other direction. I had a person come and talk to us a little while ago as a leadership trying to help us think about outreach, and they said, who's your competition? The Anglicans? I said, no. We're on the same team. But you know, the world doesn't always get that. The world doesn't always get that. And it's because sometimes we live like we're the competition with one another. We need to think of ourselves as branded and badged the same. We're on the same team. Absolutely the same team. Who's our competition? I reckon the shopping centers provide more competition. I reckon the television provides a huge competition to the values that we would be seeking to invest in the lives of our children and the life of community around us. I reckon there's all kinds of competition. People trying to kick the ball up the field the wrong way. And Jesus said, you go and you build my kingdom. You make disciples. And that's what we do. St. Alfred's. And next to them, one community. And next to them, New Hope. And we build this kingdom of God for his glory and for his purpose and for his good. You might have noticed at the very beginning of the passage begins with the sheep gate. And the sheep gate was a significant place to begin. That was the gate closest to the temple. It's where they brought sheep in for the sacrifices, etc. And it's the high priest and his entourage who build on that gate. Let the leaders be at the front with their hands in the work. Absolutely. And here this story begins reminding us what's most important. This gateway, this entrance to the temple, that's where we begin. It's like what Jesus says in Matthew 6. If you seek the kingdom of God first, all the rest of this stuff will be added on. It will find its place. So a common purpose, a common goal, building God's kingdom, putting that first, setting that out front, together in our common purpose. Here's a third thing. Together against the resistance. together against the resistance. The fact of the matter is, it is not easy to build the kingdom of God. It is not easy. It is not easy to stand up for Christ. It is not easy. And that's why we need one another. It's why you need the people who sit around you in church each week. You can't do this alone. Doesn't matter how much education, doesn't matter how much courage you have as an individual, you need others. And New Hope Baptist cannot do this alone. St. Alfred's cannot do this alone. We need each other as churches. And we stand together. We stand together in the midst of the resistance. Sometimes the work itself can discourage us. They start this work and there's nothing but rubble. Nehemiah walks among it. He actually gets on a horse and does a bit of a survey one night. It's absolutely discouraging, the mess. But he rallies and they go forward. And the work itself isn't all good. You know, the dung gate. Who wants to do that one? Right next to it is the fountain gate. What a beautiful description that is. Right next to the king's garden. I'll take that one. We all want the fountain gate, but somebody's got to fix the dung gate. There's refuse that's got to be taken out of this city. There's rubbish that's got to be taken out of the church. There's stuff that has to be dealt with that nobody wants to deal with. And how do we stand against that resistance? Well, we stand together. We own that work together. Someone's going to have to put their hands on the garbage, but everybody had better be grateful for the one who does it. Everybody had better recognize that contribution, and it's together that we stand against the resistance. Sometimes the work itself discourages us. Sometimes our people discourage us. What about those nobles of Tekoa, eh? The nobles of Tekoa who would not put their shoulders to the work. Well, there you go. There you go. There's always somebody from Tekoa in every project. You can count on it. You're going to build a church building, there'll be someone from Tekoa. They won't put their shoulders to the work. There will be someone, you're going to do an outreach mission, there'll be someone who will not put their shoulders to the work. And notice that it happens in verse 5. You know, about a sixth of the way through. It's right up there at the beginning when you're trying to build momentum, that's when the Tekoa voice is often heard. That always happens. So don't be surprised. And don't beat up on them, because the fact is that like two groups of people from Tekoa came. They're mentioned twice in the passage. The nobles, they were sticking the muds, but the workers from Tekoa came and worked on two sections of the wall, thank you very much. It'll always happen. There'll always be the naysayers, and so what do we do with it? Well, we pull together. That's what we do. Together in our discouragement, together against our discouragement. Against the work the discouragements of the work and the discouragements of the people, and then there's the enemies. It's not long into the building of this project that there's someone complaining. It says in chapter 4, so we built the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their hearts. That's an exciting time. Verse 7 of chapter 4, but when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the men of Ashdod, heard that the repairs of the Jerusalem's wall had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. What do you do when the discouragements come from outside? Pull together. Pray. Watch. And keep acting. That's why we need one another. It's why we need all of the names. It's why we need all of the families, because together we can stand against our discouragements, and they come from every direction. We can stand against those disappointments from the work itself, from the people themselves, and from outside of us. We finish with this. Together for the glory of God. Together for the glory of God. This building of a huge wall in Jerusalem is a project for God. It is a project that will honor him. And it lives beyond the life of any one of these people. It is a project which, when they conclude it in chapter 12, they'll have a great celebration and they will dedicate it to God. I expect you will do a similar thing with your building when you get it built. You will dedicate it to God because it's been a marvelous project. Your building is just a little project in the big project. You're kingdom builders and you know it well. And as you build the kingdom, along the way there are things to celebrate. When someone comes to faith in Christ, you celebrate that moment and you dedicate that moment to the Lord. When someone grows in their life, when they cross a line and there's visible maturation in Christ, you celebrate those moments. And in all of this, we are reminded that the work we do is work for God. In verse 20, there's a lovely builder, and I wish we could all be like him. I wish I could be like him. It says, next to him, Barak, son of Zebai, zealously repaired another section of the wall. Everybody else, they just repaired, but Barak, he gets this adjective. And if there's to be an adjective next to your name describing how you participated in the team, what do you want it to be? Well, Barak's adjective is zealous. He knew that he was building for God. He actually builds the section that's right up against the high priest's house. The high priest is building over there at the sheep gate, you remember? And so Barak is building right up to the high priest's house, and he gets it. He knows what he's on about. He knows what the project is about. He knows why he's doing it. And it's not just for a wall. It's for the glory of God. And he builds with zeal. Friends, as we, the people of God in Blackburn North, together with the people of God all over this city, and all over this country, and all over this world, put in our lot, together for God, we are builders of his kingdom. And what could be finer? What could be more wonderful? Today I want to charge you with the simple thought, work together, live together, serve together, love together, pray together, witness together, be together for God. It was decided as we met in our little cluster, David, Peter, and Alan, that we would conclude our presentations, our messages, by speaking some words of blessing over each of the congregations. And so that's what I would do now, to speak some words of blessing to you, as if to speak the very hope and heart of God in our midst. So I invite you to hear the blessing of God and to receive it with hope. May the Lord make his face shine on you. As your building rises up out of the dust, as its square spires face the sky and the impress of the cross is seen by the whole city, so may your lives rise up out of the dust and be certain witnesses to the things of Christ. As you make your move in the next few weeks or months and take up a new journey, may the Lord smile upon you. And may you experience his warmth and his grace in all of your community and in all of your activity and in all of your expectation. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.